It was a delight to be with you this morning. Thank you for the new opportunity tonight. As I said sometimes in the past, one of our men used to say, before I speak, I'd like to say something. And tonight, before I speak, I'd like to say two things. First, we just want to thank you for the great reception that you gave to that group of young people today. They remarked about it, your friendliness and your reception. And we thank you. Today there were 20 young people and 6 adults, and of the 20, we know that 19 are definitely followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. One is not, but he's very close. And I wish you all could have been with us about 5:30, 5:45, when we prayed together for Steffi Saint. She is leaving tomorrow for Minnesota and is going to spend 1 year with an organization called the Carpenters, a representative team of Youth for Christ, and she will be handling the keyboard work and the piano work and so on. She actually had to shift the scholarship schedule and other things in order to make it possible, but God willing, she'll be on her way tomorrow and is actually postponing 1 year of college or university in order to engage in this ministry. We think it's a good investment, and together we prayed for her. And then our son Steve, as we were holding hands together, did something even more. He prayed by name for every one of the young people that were present. And it was a wonderful time together. It's a great thing in today's world, when you see so much of sin and sorrow and heartache, to see a group of young people like that. And we are grateful to God for what we are seeing these days. When Steve finished praying, I said to the young people, and I'd like to add a request or a wish, that out of this group, there will be some young people who will still have the privilege of carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ to some people group that has never heard, and be part of the great team that is completing the Great Commission, so that everyone might hear and understand the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think there are some good possible candidates in that group, and we need to pray in that regard. You already know by what I said this morning that I believe that you have given ample proof of your dedication to prayer. And I can't thank you too much for your intercession and your help during these days. I think we can say some amazing things actually happened in response to prayer. And because of that, I'd like to leave a prayer request with you tonight. Some of you know that we are very much involved in a ministry of radio stations on the United States-Mexico border. We call it the World Radio Network. It's a separate corporation, though it is one of the ministries of HCJB, and we are tied vitally into that work. God has blessed. There's a fruitful response from the listeners, but it seems as though in the last years we have really been limping along because we don't have enough people. And right now, one of our key stations in Laredo, across from Nuevo Laredo, a station that has been amply blessed, we do not have a station manager for that station. And some of our people in McAllen, Texas, are making regular trips there to try to help out. But Laredo is limping along. And we'd like to ask you to pray that God will send us a station manager for Laredo. Now, it has to fill certain qualifications. Ideally, the person should be bilingual with some Bible background and some ability to lead. And one of the things that always seems to be the Achilles heel, we ask our station managers, even though they are rendering that service, to seek to come as supported missionaries, because the budgets of these stations in some of these poorer areas do not allow for all of that. Would you pray with us that God would send us a station manager, and I would like to add the proviso that he would send him or her soon? Well, I've been getting a little impatient with this prayer request. I just feel like the guy who was pacing back and forth very nervously, and somebody said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "Well, I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." Well, right now I'm in a hurry too, but God isn't. But I believe that this group here and others have facility of prayer and power in prayer. And would you please ask the Lord to send this laborer into his harvest, as he promised. And this morning I brought to the chapel some folders about that work on the border. If you have not received one yet, or not acquainted with the work, I'd like to ask you to take one of these folders, because it gives you a good description of what is happening on the border. And you know, Mexico is really our Samaria. Mexico is the largest Spanish-speaking country in the world. There are some very fine Christians in Mexico, but not nearly enough of them. And in some sections of Mexico, the evangelical believers have hard going. I just read about one section where in the last 10 years or so, I believe 11 pastors have met their death, killed because of their Christian testimony. And we need to pray for that land. In the last 25 years, Mexico has severely restricted gospel broadcasting. That's why we're on the border there, using American territory to broadcast both on the American side and the Mexican side in the Spanish language. I wish all of those stations could reach the whole area of Mexico, but that isn't happening. They're not that powerful. They're FM stations, but some of them reach out a good deal of distance. And we believe that many are hearing and listening. Now, our station in Quito actually broadcasts on short wave, and we know that people are also listening on short wave in the Spanish language there in Mexico. But to summarize, please pray for God to send a station manager for Laredo. To some of you folks, Laredo may be familiar. Whenever I mention Laredo, somebody says, "Oh, that's where I had basic training. That's why I started my military service." I think there was a lot of training done there, and a lot of military activity. Well, there's a lot of activity now back and forth across the border. And Nuevo Laredo in Mexico is much bigger than Laredo on the American side. So pray for that ministry and the personnel that we need so tremendously. Now we have the great opportunity of going to the Word of God once again, and I would like to invite your attention to Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 8. Romans 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The Word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I pray that this well-known passage of Scripture that sets forth things so clearly will be used in our lives tonight as we listen and think about the Word of God. Some of you know that in Latin America, we really have a harvest time. Many are coming to know Christ as Savior. It's a great movement. One of the countries where there is a great deal of evangelical belief is that long, slender country of Chile. And I used to hear tremendous stories of some of the believers in that land and their faith and trust and their gospel witness. Well, I have been in Chile a number of times and have always enjoyed it, especially because of one custom that the churches, especially in Santiago, had, but they also did in other places. We also did something like that in Ecuador. I'm talking about open-air gospel meetings just before an evening church service. And the people who are giving out the message go to some of the parks and some of the plazas, and there with instruments and someone able to speak the message of Christ, they give out the Word of God in the plazas and in the parks and even in the marketplaces. But in Chile, they do another thing that I think adds a great deal of effectiveness. When they finish their open-air gospel service, they ask people in the audience to follow them to the church for the church service. And when they do that, a good number follow those preachers and those musicians, almost like the Pied Piper, you know. They're following him right down the street to the church. And often, that night, the people who heard the gospel in the open air confess Christ as Savior in the church, and you know what? They are so intent on helping these people that before they leave that night, they have quite a course of instruction as what they should now do as new believers, and they put them to work almost immediately. I think that that has had a lot to do with the multiplication of the gospel in Chile. You know, that's possible because the gospel is so simple and so clear. It would be a useless activity to have open-air gospel services if the gospel message was complicated and hard to understand, like some political theories are. But the gospel is so simple and so clear. We want to think along that line tonight, but then go on further from that. The outline that I'd like to follow is the following. First, the provision of salvation. Second, the problem of communication. And third, the preciousness of proclamation. First of all, the provision of salvation. I've already touched the first part, the simplicity of the gospel. The Word of God says that if you believe in your heart and you confess the Lord Jesus, that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Can you find a message or an instruction that is clearer than that? No wonder J.B. Phillips, the translator of the New Testament and writer of some very good books, said on one occasion, I do not say that Christianity is easy. I do say it is uncomplicated. And that's a wonderful thing whenever you try to witness concerning the gospel. You've heard it said on a number of occasions, God has not sent us out to be lawyers. He has sent us out to be witnesses. And we very clearly and very simply tell the truth of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is so simple, the Word of God says, that a wayfaring man, though a fool, need not err therein. And that's why we can communicate it to anyone who will hear. I'd like to give you a couple of illustrations. I thank God for the privilege I've had of being in China several times, and there witnessing in the big China parks to the Chinese young people who gather sometimes in quite considerable numbers to hear these people from a foreign land talking the English language, and they want to learn more of it. And I noticed that even though we had the barrier of language and the barriers of culture, even though we had those difficulties to overcome, the gospel is so simple, it is practical to stand there in the open air with people you have never met and begin to rehearse the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we've seen some excellent results come from just a few minutes in the open air in a park in the land of China. That's only because the gospel is so wonderfully simple and so wonderfully clear. I may have mentioned this before, but I think it bears repeating. When Rachel Saint and Elizabeth Elliot went to the Alcas, I said to Rachel one day, "Rachel, when you go and talk to these people, where do you start? Their background is so limited, the cultures are so different. How do you know that they understand?" And her reply was a very simple reply, that by the grace of God, the gospel is so simple, and God operates through His Word, that she could confidently, in the simplest way, tell the story and trust God to bless it. And that's actually what happened among the Alcas. It did not take a long time for some of them, when they heard, to receive Christ as Savior. Whether they understood everything, I'm not ready to affirm. But the fact that they were touched in their hearts and they wanted to follow Jesus' way, that became very clear to them. And so as men and women go to different tribes around the world, once you have any ability at all to communicate in their language, even though there's so much difference between you in some ways, the gospel is simple enough that you can confidently tell them the story of Christ and His love. The second thing that I want you to notice under the provision of salvation is the universality of the invitation. The same Lord over all is rich to call upon Him. The same Lord is rich to call upon those. Pardon me, I got that wrong. The same Lord is rich to all who call upon Him. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, one of the great certainties in the gospel is that it is such a universal message and such a universal invitation that we can never present the gospel to the wrong person. The Lord intends that gospel for everyone to hear without exception. And we can never present the gospel to someone whom it doesn't fit. It is made to meet the needs of all human beings without exception. Billy Graham often speaks about the fact that although his campaigns have taken him to many countries, and in those countries things are quite different, he said at first he spent a lot of time trying to study all the backgrounds and all the differences in culture so that he could adapt his message to the place where he was. Now he says he simply goes and tells them the gospel message as men and women who are sinners in need of a Savior and who can be blessed by hearing his message. That's the universality of the invitation. You know, some of us have had the privilege in God's goodness of traveling to many different places and watching to see how that gospel works. Marge and I have had the privilege of being in Hong Kong, Sri Lanka, India, China, Korea, Mali, the United States-Mexico border, Argentina, Brazil, and on and on and on. And the wonderful story of missions today is that we can say in all of those places, there are followers of Jesus Christ, men and women who have understood the message and have been touched in their hearts and have come to know Him as their Savior. From HCJV, we broadcast in quite a few languages. And that means that we broadcast 24 hours a day and usually have four program lines where four programs are going out at the same time to the transmitter site and out from the transmitter site through different transmitters to different parts of the world. And I've always enjoyed standing there in that automated control room, watching the tape machines, for example, on an evening, watching a machine that has a program in Russian, one in Czechoslovakian, one in Spanish, one in English, and all of those machines are carrying the gospel program to different parts of the world, to different peoples, but the gospel is so universal in its invitation that you don't have any question at all about sending it out in those different directions and to those different people. Because as they hear, they also are blessed. Then there's a third thing under the provision of salvation, and that is the instrumentality to faith. Isn't that a simple phrase? Talk about the simplicity of the gospel. Listen to this. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What that says in essence is that people need to hear the word of God. And if they hear the word of God and actually listen to it, then faith is brought into fruition by their hearing of the word of God. You know, that is so clear that it's a wonder why we don't give the word of God out more than we do. If faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I love to read the messages of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I read them quite often. I'm still amazed at the fact that those messages given so long ago in that tabernacle are still so relevant today. And I like to hear the stories of Charles Spurgeon. One of them that I like the most is the one where someone came to him one day and said, "Mr. Spurgeon, can you defend the Bible?" And he said, "Defend the Bible? I would just as soon defend a lion. Let it out. It'll take care of itself." And you know, we don't need to be preoccupied about defending the Bible. Let it out. It will take care of itself. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When the Iron Curtain was still up, along with other missionary stations, we were broadcasting every day behind the Iron Curtain, often not knowing what the results were, but sometimes getting the correspondence that would greatly encourage our hearts. And some of our people, even at that time, were able to go and visit and see for themselves what was happening. It was very interesting to hear to see some of the responses, especially from behind the Iron Curtain. These who had been raised in atheism and instructed in atheism. I remember one time the Russian broadcaster told me that he'd gotten a letter from a Russian listener who said to him, "You're nothing but an old goat, and if I ever met you on the street, I would punch you in the nose." Well, you know the wonderful thing that has happened? Some of the people that were so antagonistic when they first heard the message just could not resist listening again. And again, and again, and some that were the most opposed later on came to the place where that word of God penetrated their hearts so much that they received the Lord as Savior and were loyal followers of His. We've seen in broadcasting such beautiful illustrations of what the Bible says here. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One of the more interesting trips that Marge and I made was a listener follow-up trip all over southern South America. We had some interesting travel experiences, met some amazingly interesting people, lived under some rather difficult conditions. I'm glad we were a much younger age at that time, and so on. But it was so worthwhile as we met the listeners. And finally, in our travels, we came as far south as we went, to an Argentinian town by the name of Caleta Olivia, way down in that section of Argentina that is known as Patagonia. You're getting pretty far south when you get all the way to Patagonia in Argentina. And we had been asked to come there for an evangelistic meeting, to speak there in the meeting. The missionary had invited us to do that. Unfortunately, we had some very difficult travel. We were delayed 3 or 4 days. We knew that we were going to miss the meetings, but the missionary pressed into service a fellow from another area who was quite discouraged as a missionary. He hadn't seen much result, and they had some evangelistic meetings, and they saw results. And the missionary was very encouraged. But when we got to Caleta, Olivia, because our radio station had announced that we were going to be there, there were 3 men from Tierra del Fuego. That's even much farther south than Patagonia. And these men worked in the oil camps in Tierra del Fuego. And they would work hard during the day, but at night they didn't have much to do. But they did have shortwave radio receivers, and they listened regularly to us. And the end of the story is that those 3 men were there because by shortwave radio and the message of the Word of God, they had received Christ as Savior. Now, you know, that really puts the message to the test. Here you are, thousands of miles away, people listening via shortwave. Sometimes the reception isn't always so good on shortwave, and they have to struggle to hear it. And here they are listening to a message of the Word of God with those obstacles in the way, and yet the message gets through, and these people hear God's message and become followers of Jesus Christ. That's a pretty good illustration of how effective the Word of God is. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now we come to the problem of communication. Isn't it stated so beautifully in the Word of God here, where it says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" How shall they call without believing, which comes by hearing through a preacher who is sent? Now, I think you will agree with me that the crux of the matter then is that someone should be sent to those who need to hear. I'd like to ask you a question tonight. Who sends the preachers? Somebody just shout it out. What's that? That's right. The Holy Spirit, or God, sends the preachers. Well, now I'd like to ask a second question. Do you think that God is a good manager? Anybody think he's not? No, I think God is a good manager, the best of all. If he's a good manager, how come that this late in world history, there are still so many people who have not heard? Would he not send enough for the harvest? Today, there are 2 billion people who have never heard, 12,000 people groups without a Christian church, and no gospel, and here we are approaching the year 2000. What's the problem? Has God failed to send the preachers? No. You know what has happened? God's people are not hearing. A Spanish Christian poet said on one occasion, if God were a man, he'd be hoarse from calling. And God keeps on calling. You know, so often in missions, we talk about missionary volunteers. We need much more than missionary volunteers. We need draftees to whom the voice of God comes so clearly that they have no other alternative but to respond to his call and to say yes. You know, Saul and Barnabas, they were draftees. They weren't volunteers. The church in Antioch was so alive, so listened to the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God came and said to them, "Separate me, Saul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have called them." That's how they went out. They were draftees. And I think what we need across the world in the Christian circles is a whole new spirit of readiness and listening to the call of God. I'm sure that we can never be right in our statistics about this, but you know, from the Western world right now, about 100,000 missionaries have been sent out into the world. Missionary statisticians tell us that in order to make much more progress, we need about 600,000 of those same people. My, how far short we are falling. And yet we go to churches and congregations and assemblies and places today where in the longest time they have not sent out anyone to the farthest reaches of earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ and lay the burden upon them as that burden ought to be laid. I'm always blessed when I see how God works in some congregations, and if that were true all along the line, I think then we would see the workers for the harvest. I'm thinking right now of one church. We had the privilege of being involved in it when a new pastor came. They didn't have much of a missionary program. They had a faith promise program, about $45,000. The pastor had the kind of faith to say, let's set it at $90,000. And that same year, they went to $120,000. The people just laughed and cried alternately because of what they had seen. Do you know what has happened since? That same church, this past year, had a missionary budget of $1,250,000. And the nice part of it is that the number of people sent out from that church were corresponding to the finances that God was sending in. Now, not all churches are as large as that one, but even a small assembly, a small congregation, can be so alive to the Spirit of God and to His call that they are regularly feeding in to the workforce for the gospel of Jesus Christ, men and women who will carry the gospel to those who have never heard. Talking about not hearing, have you heard the story about Gladys Aylward, the small woman, the missionary to Asia, most unusual and unique person? When she felt called to missions, she said that she prayed, "Oh God, if I'm going to go into missionary service, why don't you call a man who can go with me to go into missionary service?" And after some years, she was still single. And people said to her, "Gladys, God didn't hear that prayer." She said, "Oh, yes, He did. He called that man, but that man didn't answer." And that's the problem all across the line, across the world, as far as not having enough workers for the harvest is concerned. I see that my time is going very quickly. I just want to conclude with this: the preciousness of the proclamation. Notice this, where the Word of God says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." You know, in God's sight, the beautiful people with beautiful feet are the ones who carry His gospel. And when people are in earnest about carrying the gospel, it is amazing what will happen. We have a friend up in the Midwest who had a very interesting technical company, high-tech agricultural research. Not a big company, but quite profitable and quite effective. This man was a church member, but he wasn't a Christian. And there were three employees in the company that were very burdened for the boss of the company, the owner of the company. And they would speak to him about the gospel. And one especially was very persistent, and he would say to him, "Bill, you're a church member, and you have an outward cloak of Christianity, but you are not a Christian." He could see by a number of things that had happened. Believe it or not, he kept after the owner and the boss, probably even threatening his own job. But the day came when Bill trusted Christ as Savior. And then amazing things happened. Some of the folks in the upper echelons of the company were also converted. And it became a regular place of soul winning. And the profits of the company are now being fed into the work of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't you think that in God's sight, those three employees were beautiful employees who had that concern in their hearts to tell the owner of the company that he desperately needed salvation in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? And then in that connection, the beauty is even greater when people accept the call of God to go to an area where men and women have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I always tell people that every legitimate occupation is a wonderful place for a Christian to serve. But I'll tell you, if you want to have the premium possibility, then you get involved with people who, by the grace of God, are carrying His message to those who have never heard it. There's a wonderful story told about a missionary to China who was very effective, knew the language, knew how to be with the people and to communicate with the people. And you know, there were some big companies that saw how effective and how outstanding this missionary was, and they angled for him to get him as an employee of their company, one company especially. But he kept on turning them down. And after a while, they offered him a tremendous salary, but he said no to that offer. And when they finally wondered what in the world was happening, they said, "What's the matter? Isn't the salary big enough?" He said, "No, the work isn't." And he had been called of God to a job that he would never substitute. Oh, the preciousness of the proclamation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A number of years ago, for Back to the Bible, we were in India. We actually arrived in India the day after the assassination of Indira Gandhi. Fortunately, we landed in Madras, away from Delhi, but a few days later went to Delhi. And one of the most unforgettable experiences I've had was to be for a couple of days with a congregation called the Delhi Bible Fellowship. What a tremendous representation of nationalities and peoples from different places, some from Nepal, some from Bhutan, some from other places. And I saw a missionary couple there that God had used so greatly. And I watched that congregation and its development and how beautiful it was. Yes, the Bible is right when it says, "How beautiful are the feet of those that carry the gospel of Jesus Christ, that bring glad tidings of good things." Well, I don't know what our situation will be this week, but wherever we are and wherever God sends us, let's be sure to have the message in our hearts and the expression of the gospel on our lips to tell men and women the best story in all the world of Christ and His love. Let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank You for this penetrating passage of Scripture and what it says to us. We thank You over and over again for the gospel. Nothing like it anywhere that can bring a man or a woman from lostness and desperation to eternal life and to new life in Christ. We thank You, Lord, for that possibility. Make us beautiful people because we carry Your gospel. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.